Okay, today's daf is Nida Daf Mem Tes. We are holding on Daf Mem Ches. And the base today's shir is once again sponsored by Dr. David Landerer in honor of his wife and children. So we are still in the middle of the sugya of what women are ne'emanos to say about as far as the development of a girl in terms of her narus and gadlus. And we're going to finish up that sugya. And then on the top of Mem Tes Amar Aleph, the Gemara is going to have two different explanations of why the Mishnah repeats the Shita of the Rabbanan about the Simanei Tachton coming before the Simanei Elyon. Meaning not only does it tell us a machlokas between the Rabbanan and the Rameir, but then it tells us the Shita of the Rabbanan a second time. So two possible reasons why the Mishnah would do that. Then we're going to have a new Mishnah that's going to give us three different halachos about across the spectrum of nothing to do with Maseches Nida. Three different halachos from all over the place where one quality can't exist without the other, but the other can exist without the one. Meaning, since we said that it follows the same format of the Mishnah that we were just talking about, of a Simen Elyon can't come without a Simen Tachton being there, but a Simen Tachton can exist without a Simen and Elyon, so we're going to have other examples of halachos that work based on that same format. Then the Gemara is going to discuss in detail one of those examples, specifically the size of a hole in a kli cheres to make it no longer have the status of a kli, and we're going to have five different opinions of how to be bodek the size of a hole in a kli cheres to see if it's large enough that it's no longer going to have the status of a kli. Then the Gemara is going to get into another one of the examples mentioned in the Mishnah that sometimes in order for something to be considered an aver, a limb of a body, it needs a tziporen, it needs to have a fingernail. So Gemara is going to discuss the main naf kamina, when does an aver need to have a fingernail in order to be considered an aver, for which halacha is that true? And then the Mishnah on the bottom, or the second to last Mishnah on Amud Beis, is going to give another example of that which you could have one without the other, but not the other without the one, with regard to who is kosher to be a dayan in particular cases. And then the last mishnah, which we're probably not going to get to, is going to be about who is kosher to be an aid in particular cases. So let's again pick up where we left off yesterday. We were discussing the various things that a woman is ne'emenes to do the bedika of another woman. So up to tocha perek ein anashim bodkos hosan, that if it's within the perek, within that time period in a girl's life, so women cannot be bodek. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. So says the Gemara, kasavar, Rabbi Yehuda must hold tocha perek kila achara perek, that tocha perek has the same din as the achara perek with regard to gadlus, meaning that if a woman has simanim that appear during her 12th year, that's what we call tocha perek, she would already be a gadola as if she had the simanim that arrived after she turned 12 years old. Ula achar perek dik chazaka derava samchina nanashim ubadki, but tocha perek deleka chazaka derava lo samchina nanashim v'lo badki nashim. When it comes to a girl who's already 12 years old, so you have a chazaka of rava, that rava says a chazaka that once you reach a certain age, so there's a chazaka that there must be simanim already. And therefore, we're so mech on that chazaka, and the women are therefore allowed to do the bedika. We trust the women to say that such a that the simanim exists. But tocha perek, where you don't have a chazaka that there are any simanim, we're not going to be somech on women to tell us that those simanim are there, because we don't have a chazaka that those simanim are in fact there. Then we said Rabbi Shimon Omer af tocha perek nashim botkos hosan. Then Rabbi Shimon disagreed, and he thought that even tocha perek women are ne'emanos to do the bedika. So kasavar tocha perek kilifnei perek. It must be because Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He thinks that tocha perek is the same as lifnei perek, that in the 12th year is the same as before she ever turns 11, as far as godless is concerned. Which means that if she has shtei saros when she's in her 12th year of life, she is not a gedola ubaya bedika, and that's why she needs a bedika. Why does she need a bedika for? If either way, she's not going to be a gedola. Dimishtakchi, because if they find hairs right now when she's 11, that's a shuma. That's not considered to be saaros. It's considered to be like a mole. And then liachara perek shumaninu. So then, when she after her birthday, we know that if it's these same hairs, they are not going to be a simin because they were there from when she was too young for them to count for anything, so we consider them to be a shuma. So a woman is ne'emenes because it's only a chumra. It's only there to tell us of chumra. So that's why a woman could be ne'amenes about that. And then the Brisa concluded, v'ne'amenes, yishala hachmir avalola hakel, that a woman is believed to tell us a chumra, but not to tell us a kula. Meaning a gedola, she's believed to tell us that a girl is a gedola so that she can't do miyun anymore, and she's believed to tell us a girl is a katana insofar as she can't do chalitza, but she would not be able to tell us a girl is a katana to allow her to do miyun, or that a girl is a gedola to allow her to do chalitza. So hayman katanila, that last line, which shita is that following? It doesn't seem to be an extension of shita's Rabbi Shimon, because if Rabbi Shimon holds that toch haperek is kilefnei haperek, that between the age of 11 and 12 is the same as being a 6-year-old, so how could he say that a woman is believed to say that she's a gedola shaloti ma'ein? Even if she has saros, she's a katana. She's not a gedola. Even if she has shtei saros, according to Rabbi Shimon, she would be a katana during the 12th year. So iba yaseima Rabbi Yehuda v'atol chaperek. It could be that it's that line of the Braisa is authored by Rabbi Yehuda, and it's talking about a bedika done during her 12th year of life, so that that even though prior to that Rabbi Yehuda said that bedikas tochaperek a woman is not ne'emenes about, this is telling us that that's only lahakel, she's not ne'emenes. But lahachmir, she is ne'emenes. If she comes b'toch haperek and she says, this girl is shtei saros, and she is a gedola, so we say, okay, that's it, we're not going to allow her to do miyun now. And she's believed to say that she's a katana, in that we're not going to allow her to do chalitza. But you can't say that we're talking about a bedika shalefnei haperek, right? That we're talking about a bedika when she's 10 years old, because then you can't say gedoli hi shalotimai, that there's any na'amanas to declare her a gedola that she can't do miyun, because even if she has sa'aros, she would still be a katana when she's so young. And you can't say it's talking about la'achar haperek, because la'achar haperek, you can't say that a woman is na'amanas to say that she's a katana that she can't do chalitza, because la'achar haperek, we have the chazaka of Rava, and we assume that she is a gedola. Tells us, in fact, bothered, why do I need na'amanas of an ish over here? Even without her saying anything, the woman can, the girl cannot be mima enes, and even if she says lahepach that she's a katana, she can't be mima enes, because the sefer says that ein emenes lomar katana he shatimain. So he says nafkamina is if men were bodek after the woman was bodek and they don't find saros, that nevertheless she still cannot be mima enes. But without the woman's bedika, and only we would have trusted the men, and we would have said that she can be mima enes. That's how Tosos deals with that problem. The Iba Yisema, or the other possibility of who the last line of the Mishnah was of the Brisa rather was authored by, the Iba Yisema, Rabbi Shimon la'achar perek v'lesle chazaka derava, that it's talking about Rabbi Shimon and this bedika is being done li'achar perek. Rabbi Shimon doesn't hold of the chazaka of Rava that even when she's already 12 years old, we don't say that mistama there's a chazaka that she already has shtei saros, and therefore that we're only somich on the women to tell us that they have shtei saros, lahachmir, but not lahakel. Okay, b'pnei sh'amru efshar. So we said that in our Mishnah, that after quoting the whole machlokas, that it's possible for simani tachton to exist before simani elyon exists, but it's not possible for simani elyon to exist before simani tachton exists. So hasulamali, why do you have to tell me that? Hatanale reisha, you already said in the reisha afal pi she'i efshar, and we said that means e efshar according to the chachamim to have simani elyon without simani tachton. V'chi teim mishum dekabay lemistma kirabanan pshita yachram alach ram. Maybe you're going to tell me no, we want to add in this last line to show that it's a stam mishnah going like the rabbanan, so I could know that even though it's machlokas from Aaron the rabbanan, we paskin like the rabbanan, because Rabbi wanted to indicate that we paskin like the rabbanan. Well, anyway, I would have paskin like the rabbanan. So yachid v'rabim, whenever you have a yachid v'rabim, the halacha is karabim. So I don't need an extra line in the mishnah dafka to make the point that we paskin like the rabbanan. Says Gemara, mal detema mistaver type of the rameir to come and say lekroi kamash v'lan. I might have thought that even though it's a yachid v'rabim and therefore we should paskin like the rabbanan, maybe not over here, maybe there's an exception, because there are psukim where the pashtus of the psukim sound more like Rabbi Meir than they do like the Rabbanan, right? Those are the psukim, Shadayim Nechonu Sareach Tzimeach, and Basos Mitzrayim Dadayich Leman Shadeinu Uraich. We had those psukim yesterday. So Kamash Malan, that even though the pashut reading of the psukim seems to support Rabbi Meir, still we're going to paskin like the Rabbanan. The Gemara had answers for those psukim, right? The Gemara said that the way the Rabbanan would read those psukim is that even though it mentions the Simane Elyon first, it means to say that if there are Simane Elyon, Kvarba, it must be that you already have what the pasuk then mentions, the Simane Tachton. But the simple reading of the psukim is certainly more like the Rabbanan, more like Rabbi Meir. So that's why the Mishnah wants to make a point of saying that no, we follow the Rabbanan. The Ibai Seymar, another reason why we would mention this line again, Mishum, this line of Efshar Latachton Lava Achloba Elyon, Aval E Efshar La Elyon Lava Achloba Atachton, is Mishum to Kabai Limisni Keyotzebo, because it's just setting up the coming Mishnayos, the Mishnah that we're about to begin, where we're going to have a series of Mishnayos of it's Efshar for this, it's Efshar for A without B, but it's Efshar for B to exist without A. So it just has it in one phrase so that it leads directly into the following Mishnayos, because the coming Mishnayos that we're about to read have nothing to do with our Masechta. Some of them are Seder Taharos related, but some of them are Seder Nezikin related, some of them are Seder Zra'im related. But the Tana, for memorization purposes, wanted to list all of these topics together, so this is a way of introducing these topics. Okay, so here we go, as far as now we're moving away from Maseches Nida, we're just going to discuss a variety of topics where you can have A without B, but not B without A. So Keotzibo, similar to what we've to that pattern, Kol Kli Chereshu Machnis Motzi V'yesh Shemotzi Veino Machnis. If a Kli Cheres develops a hole, it breaks, and there's a hole in the Kli Cheres, if the hole is large enough to allow liquid in to the kli through that hole, then you know the hole is also large enough to be motzi liquid from that hole. But if the hole is not is large enough to be motzi liquid, that it would drip, it's not necessarily a sign that it's large enough for liquid to get into the hole, because it takes a larger hole to get liquid into the kli than it does for liquid to drip out of the kli. So if you see that it's the mashke is nichnas into the kli through that hole, then you know mashke can also be yotze through that hole. So we'll have to see the mayna afkamina for these shiur, meaning what the halachic nafkamina of a hole of one size is and a hole of the other size is. But that's that at least you know for sure that if it's machnis mashke, then it's also motzi mashke. A second example. Anytime a person has an extra extremity, an extra finger, an extra toe, so if it has a fingernail on it, then you know that it has bone in it as well, and therefore it's considered to be an aver shalim. It's considered to be a real limb in that it's metame ba'ohel. An aver even minachai is metame ba'ohel. Not only minames, if you have an aver shalim from a living person, that's metame ba'ohel. But what makes an aver shalim? Sometimes a person may have a growth, and that growth is not really an aver. It's just an extra piece of flesh or something like that. So it has. So, generally speaking, what defines an aver is that which has bones and basar, basar gidin vatsamos. It has bones and sinews and flesh. So, but maybe it has a tiny bone in there, and I don't know. So if it has a tzipora, then you know that it's got a bone in there. Sometimes there will be a bone, but there won't be a fingernail on it, and it's not going to be metame adam mekelim b'tumasoel unless it has a kazayis basar. If it's not an aver, meaning that which is an aver is only metame, it could be metame bowl even if it's very tiny, but tumasoel for basar is only going to be if it's a kazayis of basar. Now, if it's less than a kazayis, it would still be metame b'maga b'masa because of the etzem kisaora is even metame b'maga b'masa. But as far as being metame ba'ohel, you need an evre shalem in order to be metame b'tumas ohel. So then another thing that the Mishnah's got, another example of this kind of idea of A could exist without B, but B cannot exist without A, is that is with regard to tumas medrus. Kala metame medrus metame tmei meis. Anything that's eligible, any kli that's eligible for kabbalas tumas medrus is also eligible for being metame tumas meis by touching a meis. V'yesha metame tmei meis and metame medrus. But not everything that if it touches a meis will become an avatuma is also eligible for tumas medrus. Tumas medrus is much more limited. In order to become tamei tumas medrus, it has to be a kind of kli that's designated for someone to lie down on or to lean on, and then it's tamei tumas medrus. So, and the chumrah of tumas medrus is that if a zav sits on such a chair, let's say, even if he's not touching the chair, even if there's no tumas maga, let's say he's sitting on their chair as cushions on top of it. So he's sitting on the cushions. He's only touching the cushions. It's still going to be metame the chair. So that's one chumrah of tumas medrus, that it works even without him touching it. But beyond that, tumas maga is going to be metame. The zav is an avatuma. If he touches something, that something becomes a rishon tuma. But a medrus hazav is an avatuma. It becomes like the source of the tuma itself. It's an avatuma. So that's the inyan of tumas medrus. But not everything is eligible for tumas medrus. Only that which is designated for sitting on, for lying on, for leaning on, for putting one's weight on. That's the only thing. Those are the only items that are eligible for tumas medrus. So says the Gemara. What's the nafkamina as far as the size of a hole in a kli? Right, that was the first example we gave in the mission, that if you have a kli charis that the hole is big enough for liquid to get in, then you know for sure it's big enough for liquid to get out. L'may nafkamina. So machnis pasul lemechatas. If the hole is big enough for liquid to get in, then it's pasul for putting the efer para aduma into the water, which we call the kiddush mechatas. That needs to be in a kli. Because the pasuk says, Rashi points out, pasuk says, "V'nasan alav mayim chayim el keli," that you got to put it into a kli. So it sounds from Rashi that he's talking about before the mayim is niskadesh, and you're trying to be mekadesh at the kli. That when you're mekadesh the mayim in a kli, so that kli has to be a kli that does not have this kind of hole in it. However, the Bartanura says that we're talking about putting the mayim of the Efer Para, meaning to put the mayim that's already mekudosh into the Efer Para in order to be mazit it. That's already mekudosh by Efer Para in order to now be mazit it from a kli. So that needs shem kli as well. So they're probably both true, meaning you need a kli at each step of the process to initially be mekadesh the mayim and to use to actually, once it's already mixed with the Efer Para, to use it to actually sprinkle onto the tame mace. But so for that you need it needs to be a kli. So if there's a hole in the kli, that liquid would be able to get into the kli from it loses its shame kli. Upasl mishum gistra. And there's another din. The halach is if you have broken kli cheres, if there's a hole in it that's large enough that liquid can get in through the hole, so then it's pasl. It doesn't have a shame kli and it's not mekabel tuma, and it's pasl mishum gistra, that it's gistra's shivrei kli cheres or broken kli cheres. The Mishnah Maseches Kelim says that if they have a certain size, they're mekabel tuma even after they break, because people will use them to put underneath other kelim that have holes in them to catch whatever drips are coming from the other kelim. But when this broken kli has a hole in it that's large enough to be machnas mashke, then it's not metame at all. But a kli shalim that has a hole in it that's not royal to be machnas mashke into the kli, motzi kosher lemechatas upasul mishum gistra. But if you have it has a hole that's large enough to be motzi liquid, it's still going to be kosher lemechatas. It still has a shame kli and it's pasul from being a gistera, meaning it's batel, it loses its Torah's kli as far as it's not metame mishum gistera. That if you have a kli that if this kli has a hole in it, it's not a kli shalim, it's considered a shever kli, and it's not going to be mekabel tuma like other shevri kli cheres that we said before, because the Gemara will explain the reason for that. So Amar Avasi, kli cheres yuro bekones mashka, that when shonen, that we have a Kabbalah, lach l'moshe misinai, that a kli cheres that has a hole, the shear of the hole, in order to be metaret, to be mekabel tuma, is kones mashka, is that liquid can get into it. V'lo amru motzi mashka Elalin gistra bulvad. And the only nafkamina in a kli that has a hole that's large enough to be motzi mashka is as far as the din of gistra. That when it has a hole that's large enough to be motzi mashka, it's already not roy to put underneath a kli to be makabel whatever mashka is dripping from the other kli. And therefore, such a hole is good enough to be mevatel Torah's kli from the gistra. But if you have a kli shalim that only has such a tiny hole, it doesn't lose the shame kli, because you could still put another, you could put a gistra underneath it to catch whatever's coming out of it. So as far as being a gistra, even a multi mashka would pass it from being a gistra. But as far as being a kli, if it's a full kli, then a hole that's only the size of a multi mashka would not take away the status of a shame kli. My time, well, what's the reason that this hole is mevatel from being a gistra, where it's not mevatel from being a full kli? If the kli was intact, it would still have a shame kli. No one would ever say, bring another gistra for the gistra. The gistra is a shard that's meant to catch whatever liquid is dripping out of a kli. If that shard is also going to drip, that's ridiculous. Why would you bring it in the first place? No one would ever say, oh, I have one shard, bring another shard to catch what's dripping out of the first shard. Yeah, you may have a kli that's otherwise functional, that has a very slow drip. That's worthwhile bringing a shard in order to catch whatever is falling out. But you would never bring a gistra for a gistra. So as far as when something is considered a kli, only if it has a hole that's large enough to be machnis mashke, does it lose its shame kli? But as far as being a gistra, even if the gistra has a hole that's large enough to be motzi mashke, it loses the shame gistra. So Tan Rabban, we have a brisa. Ketzah bodkin klei cheres. We're going to go through five different shitos of how to do a proper bedika on a klei cheres to see whether the hole is large enough. How do you know if the hole is large enough to let liquid in? So what kind of a pouring of liquid into the kli has to be done in order to see if liquid is seeping into the kli? So the first possibility is, yavi areva melei mayim, bring a larger bowl full of water, v'nosin kedera l'tocha. If you have this pot that has a little hole and you're not sure if the hole is big enough, v'motzi mashka, stick that pot into this larger bowl of water. Im knasa biyaduach shekonis mashka. If water gets in through that hole, so then you see it's konis mashka. Vim lav biyaduach shemotzi mashka. And if water does not get in through that hole, then you know it's not large enough to be konis mashka. It may be large enough to be motzi mashka, but it's not going to be large enough to be konis mashka. A second possibility, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you're not going to be bodek in the way that the Tanakhama just described, because that's not just the water getting in. The way Rashi explains over here is when you're pushing the kli cheres down into that bowl of water, it's not just the water that's seeping in, it's the pressure that's causing the water to seep in. So the hole is in fact maybe smaller than Mekonis Mashka, and water's still going to get in. So that's not a fair test to do. That's not a valid test. And Rashi says, and it would turn out that we're being makil more than we should be on such a kli, because water is going to get in, and we're going to say, oh, this is big enough to be machnis mashka, and it's not, so we're going to end up being makil on such a kli. So in Tos Chachmei Anglia, they say, makil? You mean we're going to be machmir? Because if you're going to take a kli and say, oh, it's big enough to be machnis mashka, you're now going to say that kli is not kosher to use for paraduma. So it's a chumrah. You're pasling such a kli for paraduma, even though really should have been kosher to use for Para Aduma. So the Marsha defends Rashi, and he says, yeah, as far as Para Aduma, it's a Chumrah, but as far as Kabbalah's Tumah, as far as the Halachas of Tumah, the Shear of Konis Mashka is a Kula, because you're going to be Matir the Kli through such a neck, if you're going to say that it's not a Kli anymore, so it doesn't have Tumas Kalim, but in reality, it really should have been a Kli. So that's what Rashi means to say when Rashi says that we're going to turn out that it's going to turn out that we're going to be mekil yoser midai. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda doesn't like the first test that we suggested. So what does Rabbi Yehuda suggest? Kofef azne kederu l'tocha umetzef aleha mayim v'imkones biyadua shekones mashke v'imla biyadua shemotzi mashke. What you do is you take a bowl, do not fill it with water yet, a larger bowl, then take the kli, turn it upside down, put put it into the bowl upside down, and then pour water into the bowl and allow the water level to rise above where the hole in the kli is. And if water starts going through that hole, then you know that it's kones mashka. If water does not start going through that hole in your pot, in your kli cheres, then you know that it's not kones mashka. At most, it is motzi mashka. A third possibility: oshov sal gabei or im or mamida biyadua shemotzi mashka v'mlav biyadua shemachnes mashka. The other thing you could do is you could fill your pot with water and then put it on the fire, because the fire will prevent water from dripping out of it unless the hole is gigantic. So if the hole is only small enough to be motzi mashka, when you put it on the fire, it won't be motzi mashka anymore. But if the hole is big enough to even be machnis mashka, then putting it on the fire will not prevent it from dripping. It will at least be motzi mashka when it's on the fire. So by putting it on the fire, you're sort of moving the line over a little bit. Now you can look and just see if it's being motzi mashka while it's on the fire, and that will tell you whether it would be machnis mashka when it were not on the fire. A fourth possibility: Rabbi Yossi Omer Aflo Shov Sal Gabe Or Mnei Shor Ma'amida. He says, no, putting it on a fire, that will even if the hole is very large, that will stop it from dripping out. Putting it on a fire will stop the water from dripping out, so it's not a good indicator, because when you put it on the fire and water is not dripping out, the hole still might be big enough to be machnis mashke. Ella shov sal gabei aremitz. You have to put on something whose heat is not quite as intense as a fire, like hot coals that are not as hot as a fire. Im remitz ma'amida biyodua shemotzi mashke. If the remetz is enough to prevent it from dripping, then you know that shemotzi mashka, that it would be motzi mashka v'im lav biyodua shekones mashka. But if the remetz is not big enough, is not hot enough to prevent it from dripping, then you know that the hole must be large enough that it would even be kones mashka. And then the fifth and final test is, if it keeps on dripping drip after drip, then that's a large enough hole to be kones mashka. Meaning if it drips in an irregular fashion, so then apparently that's just motzi mashka. But if it drips in a consistent way, that liquid continues to drip after drip after drip, then you know such a hole is large enough that it's even kones mashka. The Aruch Lener is a little bit bothered by this last one. Rashi writes, "Vizu nami bedikihi," over here, that on this one Rashi says, this is also a bedika. So apparently Rashi views this as a bedika just like all the others. But the Aruch Lener is not convinced. He says, why isn't this bedika mentioned first of all? And this is the easiest one. You don't need anything else. You don't need to do any tests. Just fill the kli with liquid and see how it drips. I mean, that's got to be by far the easy. You don't need remetz, you don't need eish, you don't need another kli full of water and putting water into it. You don't need anything, just fill the kli with water. It's the easiest of the bedikos. And furthermore, says the Aruch Lener, if this is a bedika gemura, why didn't the braisa conclude the imlav biyodua she'eno kones mashka? Every other bedika we said, if it's this way, then biyodua she'kones mashka, and if not, then biyodua she'eno kones mashka. It never gave the flip side. It said, tipa achar tipa, biyodua she'kones mashka. It didn't say, and if it's not tipa achar tipa, then you do that it's not kones mashka, that it's motzi mashka, like it says by the other bedikos. And therefore, says the Aruch Lener, lule divrei Rashi, had it not been for Rashi saying otherwise, I would have said that this is not a bedika gemura. It's only a simon bialma, that if you see that it comes out tipa achar tipa, then you know that it's a hole that's large enough to be kones mashka. But guess what? Even if it's not dripping out tipa achar tipa, it still might be large enough to be kones mashka. So that's why it's not really one of the four tests, meaning it's a good way to start. Fill it with liquid and see if it's coming drip after drip after drip, then your test is over. You know that it's large enough to be kones mashka. But if it's not, then you're still going to need to do one of the other tests to see whether it's large enough to be kones mashka or not. That's what the Aruch Lener says he would have said had it not been lule pirush Rashi. That's what he would have thought would have been the pashup shan in the Gemara. Tosov here writes that this din of a hole in a kli, losing its shame kli, that hua din l'netilas yadayim. Tosos writes that Rava says in Maseches Chulin that if a kli has a hole that's large enough for kones mashka, then you can't do netilas yadayim with such a kli. And it follows the pattern, the rules of our sukkah. If it's motzi and machnis, it's possible until the sedayim. But if it's motzi and not machnis, it's kashal until the sedayim. And even though in our sukkah we're only talking about kli cheres and we're only talking about the tumah status, but the same is true legabe other kelim as far as its ability to be used for netilas sedayim. And that's why it's paskin shulchan aruch in our chayim simkufin and test that a kli that's nikav bekonis mashka, that if you were to put it on top of a bowl of liquid and water would get through that hole, which is larger than the size of that which is motzi mashka, it's bottom mitaris kli, and even if it's machzik or revius min haneka v'lamata, even if it would still hold the revius of mayim below the level of where the hole is, you shouldn't use it for netilas yadayim. Mishapura quotes in the name of the Bach and the Eliyahu Rabba that they mention the siman in the end of the brisa, that if it's tif achar tif, if it drips drip after drip after drip, then you know it's a large enough hole to be machnis mashka rather, and that's in fact shitas Rashi, right? Meaning not like the Aruch Haner. Mishapura assumes like what Rashi says, that that's a full-fledged test when it comes to Netilas Yadayim. So it's a Chaps Nafkamina La'alacha for us as well, even outside of the world of Tumah and Tara. Then the Mishnah went on to say, Kol Eiver Sheyesh Bo Tziporin, that any limb, any extra limb that has a Tziporin, well, you know that it has Etzem as well. But if it could be that it has Etzem, but it does not have a Tziporin, that it has a bone, but it does not have a fingernail. So we're going to have to explain the Ma'inaf Kamina whether it has a tziporin or not. So a little bit of background. The Mishnah in the first part of Masechet Olos tells us that an Eiver Shalem that comes off of a human body is metame anyone who touches it, anyone who carries it, or even anyone who's nichnas la'ohel with it. It's metame betumas ohel, even if it doesn't have a kazayis basar. But if it's not an Eiver Shalem, then it's not metame unless it has an etzem kasaora or a kazayis basar. And even if it were to have an etzem kasaora, it still wouldn't be metame ba'ohel. So there is a big nafkamina in something being labeled an Eiver Shalem. It could be another nafkamina. The Gemara doesn't mention over here. It's a big machlokas haposkim. It could be a nafkamina as far as chiyuv kavura. Right? What happens if someone just asked me this week that a relative of theirs is having is ill and requires an amputation of his leg. So he wanted to know, does he have to make a request to the hospital to give them the leg? I mean, set it up that it goes straight to the Chevra Kadisha, but does the Chevra Kadisha need to handle it in order to bury it? So Rav Meisha held yes. So Rav Meisha held that it's a chiv kavura on an Eiver Shalem. Most other poskim assume no. They assume, look, it's metame, so if Kohen's not allowed to be in the room, Kohen can't be metame to it, but you just have to do something so that a Kohen would not become tame to it. And Rav Shapta thought, now Mistama, the way hospitals dispose of these things, a Kohen's not going to become tame to it, meaning they'll keep it away from, you know, they're not just going to throw it in the street somewhere where a Kohen is going to come in contact with it. So that's, but Rav Meisha held that it's actual Chiv Kavura on an Eiver Shalem. It's an interesting topic. There are rayas mikan u'mikan from, there's no Gemara in Shas that directly discusses the halacha, but it's like Agav. The Gemara in Ksuba says, oh, you know, they're like places that they used to have that are muksuk betumah because people used to throw their nefel. You know, if a woman miscarried, they would throw the fetus there, and mitzrayim would throw their limbs there. That the people that had sorts of diseases where body parts would come off, they would keep them over there. They would bury them over there. So it sounds like they would bury them. That was the minhag to do, but that could just be because what else they can do with them? So they'll it's not a statement of halacha that's what they had to do. Say one of the rayas, the Medrash says in Chayesar that Yiftach was buried Ba'are Gilad. How many cities was he buried in? So Yiftach made this terrible decision that the first thing that would come out of his house he was going to sacrifice, and it was his daughter. So his daughter suffered for that. Did he suffer from it? So the Medrash says, yeah, he started having this horrible disease where limbs just started falling off of his body. So there are pieces of Yiftach buried all over Are Gilad. He's not buried Be'ir Gilad, but Are Gilad in all the cities of Gilad. There are some Achronim that suggest that you need to actually bring the limb to where you're going to where the person's going to be buried. That because for Tchias HaMeisim purposes, that it's best if the whole body is in is in one place. So there's a minhag like that to bury in that. Rabbi Willig thought we should observe that minhag. So even though Rabbi Shach said, "Yeah, let the hospital dispose of it," the guy asked both Rabbi Shach and Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig said, "No, no, but they should. If he has a burial plot, have the chevra open up his burial plot and bury his limb in that in his own burial plot. It's a much more expensive option." Okay. So anyway, so. What we're saying, yeah, so the Gemara says, Yesh bo tziporin metame b'magro masa ba'ohel, Yesh bo etzem ve'in bo tziporin metame b'magro masa ve'in metame ba'ohel. So if the extra digit that a person has on their hand has a tziporin and it has a fingernail, so it's metame b'magro masa u'ba'ohel. If it doesn't have a fingernail, then it's metame b'magro masa b'na ba'ohel. Amar v'chisa dover zev rabbeinu agado amaro hamakom yeh be'ezro. This was said by, the way Rashi understands it, Rav is called Rabbeinu agado, and Hashem should help him. The Aruch Lener in Masechus Sukkah says that bracha is only on a tzaddik or a chacham who's still alive. Once they are already dead, they're already nochel chayel maba, they don't need ezer anymore. So it would not be a proper bracha to say for someone who is deceased. So anyway, what he said was that etzbi is seir sheish bo etzem ve'in bo tziporin. If you have an extra digit that has bone but not a fingernail, metam magomasa ve'in metam ba'ol. It's metam magomasa, but it's not metam ba'ol. Does not have a din of an eiver shalim. Amar Rabbi Bar Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, ukshein nisperes al gavayad. That's only if it's not on, in line with the other fingers. But if a person has a sixth finger that's in line with the other fingers, then it's going to be metame ba'ohel, even if it doesn't have a tziporin, because there's no requirement for something to be an aver for it to have a fingernail. It's an indicator that if something is growing out of nowhere, it's not one of the regular digits on his hand. So that's an indicator that if it has a fingernail, that's really an aver. Then we said kometame medrash. So anything that's metame medrash can also become metame tumas meis, but not the reverse. So called the chazi the medrash metame tumay meis ve yesh metame tumay. Some things are eligible for Tumas Meis, but not for Tumas Medrus. You have kelim that are made to measure a sa'a or a tirkav. These are different measurements of dry measures. So you have these large kelim that are used to measure these things. So they're not meant to sit on, they're not meant to lie on. So, but they are kelim, so they can become tamei from Tumas Meis, but they cannot become tamei Tumas Medrus. How do we know that? Titania, because the Brisa tells us when the Pasuk says that a Yosha. When it tells us about the din of Tumas Medrash, if it would have said Avayoshev Alakli, so Yachal Kafasa of Yashav Aleha, O Tarkov of Yashav Alav Ye Tame. If it only would have said Vyashav Alakli and would have left it at that, so I would think any kli, you take a sa'a, a measuring kli of a sa'a, and you turn it upside down and you use it as a stool to sit on, or a Tarkov, and you do the same thing with it, you would think that it's Tame, Tumas Medrash. Tamalomar Asher Yeshev Alav Hazav. What does that extra phrase tell me? That it needs to be something that's meant for a Zav to consistently sit on. Misha Miyuchad Yeshiva Yatzazah Sha'om Lo Amod V'nasim Lachtenu. It has to be something that's Miyuchad Yeshiva as opposed to something that if the guy is sitting on and you need the kli, you would say, "Excuse me, sir, you got to get up. We need the kli that you're sitting on for what its intended purpose is. We need to go measure out a Sa'a or a Tarkov." So that's why it's not going to be Mitame, it's not going to be Makabal Tumas Medrus when it's in such when you have such a kli, even though a zav might sit on it. Next Mishra, kala roi ladin dinin fashos, roi ladin dinin mamanus, v'yesha roi ladin dinin mamanus, ain't roi ladin dinin fashos. Anyone who's qualified to be a dayan for dinin fashos is automatically also qualified for dinin mamanus, but not the reverse. Amar of Yudal Asuye Mamzer comes to tell me a Mamzer was possible for dinin fashos, but is kosher for dinin mamanus. So tanina chadazim na kol kshayin ladin dinin mamanus, ain't kol kshayin ladin dinin fashos, v'avina bal asuye mai, we say, what's an example of someone who's kosher from mamonis but not from nefashos. Vam Rav Yehuda lasuya mamzer. So why do I need it to tell me the same halacha twice? So chad lasuya ger, chad lasuya mamzer. A ger is also kosher for dinim mamonis but not for dinim nefashos. V'tzrichi diashmin ger. If it only would have told me about a ger, mishum d'roy lava bakal, because at least a ger could marry a bas Yisrael. Av a mamzer then roy lava bakal imalo. I would think a mamzer is not even kosher for dinim mamonis because he's not even allowed to marry a regular Jew. V'iashmi inan. Mamzer, and if it only would have told me a mamzer is kasher to be dan dine mamnas, I would say mishum deka asim mitipa ksheira. At least he has the yichus that he comes from a tipa ksheira, that his father was a kasher. He came from Zera Yisrael. Aval ger deka asim mitipa psula, but a ger whose father was not Mizera Yisrael, he's not from Zera Yisrael because his father's tipa is not kasher. So imalos, I would think that he's not even kasher for dine mamnas. That's why I need two mishnayos. One to tell me that a ger is kosher for being dan dine mamnas, and one to tell me that a mamzer is kosher for being dan dine mamnas. Okay, there's what to say on that, but we'll probably just pick up with the Mishnah at the bottom tomorrow.